I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome, everybody, back to another edition of the Sportster Show. My name is Jim Parsons. This is episode 14. Going to have a conversation with Norman Corrington about some of the big news developments in WWE this week, from Liv Morgan winning the SmackDown Women's title, to Theory holding the Money in the Bank briefcase, to Lacey Evans turning heel on SmackDown this week, and then Vince McMahon. More allegations of sexual misconduct coming against Vince McMahon, uncovering more people, more money. What does it mean for WWE? What does it mean for Vince McMahon? What is going to happen here? We're going to dig into all of that. Before we get going, though, couple quick reminders. If you want to follow the Sportster Show on your favorite podcast platforms, we'd greatly appreciate downloading, subscribing to it, giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. You can check it out on thesportster.com. You can go to the facebook.com/thesportster page to get all of our information there. The YouTube channel's got content as well. We are trying to get you as much wrestling information and news and updates as we can through multiple platforms, this podcast being just one of them. Before we get into our conversation with Norman Corrington, let's go through a couple quick developments here in WWE. SummerSlam 2022 is not that far away. There's a few matches on the card already. Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus Brock Lesnar in a last man standing match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship is probably going to be the main event. Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin. By the way, Pat McAfee just signing a long-term multi-year extension with WWE. Bobby Lashley versus Theory in a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. Theory now holds the Money in the Bank briefcase after Saturday's pay-per-view. The Usos versus the Street Profits in a tag match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Little bit of a tease going on with the Street Profits right now. Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins, can they get along long enough? Angelo Dawkins recently on the After the Bell podcast with Corey Graves talking about how big a star Montez Ford is going to be. We all know that's the case. But what happens with Angelo Dawkins? Is he being overlooked? Is he being underrated? It's kind of a spur in his side. He's not real happy about that. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey in a singles match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. We don't know exactly what's happening with the Raw Women's Championship yet. We're not sure if the Intercontinental title is going to be defended by Gunther, who was on SmackDown this week and beating the tar out of Ludwig Kaiser. Lots going on in the world of professional wrestling, and we're not even touching on AEW this week, but we will definitely do so next week. But this is episode 14 of the Sportster Show, brought to you by thesportster.com. Enjoy. Welcome, everybody, back to another edition of the Sportster Show. My name is Jim Parsons. I'm here with thesportster.com. Norman Corrington with us on the other end of the line here. Not feeling so hot today, so we're going to not take too much of his time. But, Norman, how are you feeling?
Oh, bad. Yeah, for the listener, I've tested positive for COVID-19 a couple of days ago. and it's yeah, knocked the wind out of me. It's rough. So, and if I wasn't vaccinated, I am pretty sure I'd be in hospital. So yeah, go get vaccinated, guys.
Yeah. And for those of you that have caught this already or have had it in the past, you know, probably what Norman's going through right now, but it does affect everybody a little differently. I am lucky that I have not had this. So I will try to do my best to help you through this as much as I possibly can. But we're going to keep it kind of simple today, have a little fun talking some news, developments in WWE. We have not done a show since Money in the Bank. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened on that show. As well, we'll talk about some news items from SmackDown. Lacey Evans has turned heel. We're going to have some fun with some other stuff. So let's talk a little Money in the Bank first. The big takeaway, obviously, one, Liv Morgan is now the SmackDown Women's Champion. She won the ladder match and then went on to cash in against Ronda Rousey. And two, Theory, almost said Austin Theory. Theory is now the Money in the Bank briefcase holder. And we know he's cashing in at some point. WWE is very, very high on him. Which one was a bigger deal to you? The Liv Morgan win and the SmackDown Women's Championship, or Theory having the briefcase and probably holding this over our heads for the next year?
I think unquestionably Liv Morgan's win was the bigger deal in terms of how well it was received just by wrestling fans, WWE Universe and wrestling fans in general. I think she's certainly much more... It's interesting, right? Because I think what they want out of Austin Theory, I don't think they're necessarily, or what they're picturing for Austin Theory isn't necessarily coming to fruition, I guess, because he's not, I wouldn't say, obviously he's a heel. So I get there's some leeway there in terms of the negative reactions that he's getting. But I think most of that is actually go away heat and not necessarily like good heel heat. Whereas Liv Morgan is, you know, they've kind of messed her around a lot, and it took a little while for them to finally pull the trigger on her and do with her what the fans have wanted them to do with her for a long time. But they finally did it, and it was, you know, the pop was huge. The fans loved it. So yeah, for me, the bigger deal was definitely Liv winning. I think Theory winning is very interesting, and it does have a lot of really sort of interesting potential ramifications that are going to be fun to talk about, because I, you know, who does he cash in on? When does he cash in? Can you see him cashing in and on Roman Reigns and beating Roman Reigns? Because I can't. Yeah, you know.
Did you say you can or you can't?
I can't. I can't. Oh, okay. See. I not in how he's being. Yeah, I just can't see it. I can't see. But you never know. I guess if Vince likes him, and if Vince sees him as like the next big thing, so to speak, then, you know, there's not a lot that's going to stop that from happening other than Vince losing interest or Vince no longer being involved in the company anymore, which is we'll get to later, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, yeah, go on.
No, as you say, for the sake of a fun podcast, I'm going to go on the other end of this. I do think that Liv Morgan was rightfully deserved. She's been overlooked for a very long time. But the reason I'm going to say that Theory is the bigger deal here is because I don't think Liv Morgan's going to hold this thing very long. I just get the sense after her win on Saturday, I wanted to say Sunday, but it's always Saturday, that she has not done the best, and it's really maybe not her fault, but she's not done the best job in two promos that she's had, one on Monday Night Raw and one on Friday Night SmackDown. And she's sort of having to carry through, even had Michael Cole come out on Friday during SmackDown to sort of help her through a promo. I don't know. I think the fans love this. I think Liv deserves it. I hope she gets her promos in line and WWE Creative gives her more than just garbage, crap, babyface stuff to spew out every week.
Right.
But yep. If they don't, I don't see this being on her very long. I don't know if Ronda Rousey is going to get it or somebody else like Charlotte might come back and take it or whatever the case might be. But I just have this feeling that it's going to be a lackluster run. And for all of this buildup and the fans really getting behind Liv and really, because she was very over on Saturday at Money in the Bank. People really wanted her to win it, and she did. And that's great. But you got to do something with it once you have it. And I don't know that she is going to. And that's my big concern for Liv Morgan. The reason I think Theory is a good one is because, yes, I'm with you. People hate Theory. And some are go away heat and some just love to hate him. Like he's kind of Sammy Guevara, but twice the size, right? He's that guy. He's much bigger. He's got the body. He's all that stuff. Doesn't high fly around like Guevara does, but he's got that sort of man, you just despise this dude, Heat. But he's so good. Like, he just, he knows his role. He understands his job. He's going to hold this briefcase. And he's already on Friday, he showed up twice during the Roman Reigns promo just to tell everybody, hey, I got this. By the way, mm-hmm. I can show up anytime, anywhere. And it's like The Miz. He's going to drive us crazy with this thing. And he's going to probably hold it for a very long time. And that's really going to get him over in terms of people just hating his guts. And that's kind of what you want with a guy with the Money in the Bank briefcases, because you need this thing to be kind of the, I can cash it at any moment. I probably won't deserve to win the title when I do. And that's what's going to get people to hate Theory. And I think that works in his favor. I think those are the types of people you want holding the briefcase, not somebody like a Nikki A.S.H. who just cashes in that night and then doesn't do anything with it. And I hope Liv Morgan's run is not the equivalent of what Nikki A.S.H. did, or Nikki A.S.H., right? That's my take on it. Mm-hmm. I could be way off though. How do you think Morgan holds this thing for a while?
Yeah, so that was a thought that I had a couple of days ago, actually. Well, as soon as I saw that she was facing Ronda at SummerSlam, you know, the chances don't look good. I would hate it if they took the title off of her anytime soon, because I kind of just feel like they do that way. Like, well, like you said, they did it with Nikki A.S.H. And it's like, either don't put the title on them in the first place, or let them have like a decent run with it, right? Unless they're specifically out there to be like a transitional champion or something. But to have Liv beat Ronda and then lose to her, you know, the next month before she's made any sort of successful defenses of the title or whatever, is just kind of silly and a little bit disrespectful to the titles. So yeah, what you said was something that crossed my mind. Like, you can't put anything past them, so it is possible that she won't hold it for very long. Her promo skills, yeah, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I feel like she's never been the best promo, right? She's won the crowd over just by her sort of charm and personality and this sort of just sort of charisma that she has. I don't think she ever really won anybody over with promos. I can't remember her cutting a super amazing, you know, end-to-end amazing promo before. But, you know, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they just need to give her shorter, sharper material or something.
Yeah. The only thing that I would hate to see Ronda Rousey take it back from her too, unless, and this is a big unless, you turn Rousey heel. Like, if you have Rousey go heel and kind of steal the title back from Liv Morgan, I'm all on board, because
Rousey should be heel.
Yes, she
should
be Rousey heel. As a baby face is awful. Like, it's absolutely, and again, not necessarily her fault, but her promos are cringeworthy. Like, she just isn't comfortable. She's given material. I think these women are given material that just is. Liv Morgan's promos right now remind me of when Roman Reigns was given all this garbage by WWE, and everyone's like, oh my God, Roman Reigns' promos are terrible. But Roman Reigns is a very good promo. It's just, you need to let him do his own thing, and he needs to be himself, have the authority to go out and say what he needs to say on his own accord without all this scripted garbage that WWE gives him. I think that's what they're doing with Liv Morgan right now. I think it's a mistake. I think that's what they're doing with Ronda Rousey right now. I think it's a mistake. So if Rousey goes heel and steals it from Morgan, great. And then give her a mouthpiece, whether it's Heyman or somebody else, and just let them do the talking for her and let her be a total badass. Like, that's what they need to do.
Yeah. The notion that Ronda Rousey could ever be this like top baby face, it's kind of silly to me, because she's brought in as this like, you know, shoot fighter. She's like, you know, a menacing presence who can beat people up for real. And then they also sort of, you know, reference they lean a lot on the Roddy Piper connection there. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I think of Roddy, I don't think of, top baby face. So I don't know why they don't just pull the trigger on her and make her like a top monster heel.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely should. I think she's just better in that role. She's more natural in that role. She actually, like, I don't know if this is true or accurate, but she seems to sort of just despise the fan base anyway, like legitimately doesn't really like them very much. So why not let her be what she's just naturally is, which is sort of, and we'll get into this next with Lacey Evans, right? They brought her back with this whole I don't want to be disrespectful to her life story. I certainly am not trying to do that when I say this, but the whole thing was a mess. Like when they brought her out to have her tell her life story in her childhood and the troubles and trials and tribulations that she went through and the struggle internally and externally and all that stuff. I mean, it's a touching emotional story, but the way that WWE put it together, they kind of set you up for this. Okay, now she really has to come out and get a massive pop. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. And the first thing they did when they brought her back was had the ring announcer say, okay, please stand up and give her the type of rousing response that she deserves, which is absolutely a heel maneuver. Like, it's just, it was insanely stupid to do that. And from that moment on, Lacey Evans was never going to be an over babyface. So WWE's done a wise thing here, I think, on Friday. They had her come out, and she came out three times. The first time she didn't like the response, went back, came out and did it again. Second time, still not loud enough. Third time, she finally was sick of it and said, you know what, you guys are disgusting. You don't give me the respect that I deserved. I'm a local war here. Like, I've done everything. I put my body on the line for you guys. And then she called them disgusting and fat and idiots and stuff. Smart. Like, I think you have to do this with Lacey Evans, because that babyface storyline, background, origin, it was not working. It didn't work. If you listen to the response at Money in the Bank, every time she tried to climb the ladder, they booed the crap out of her. Mm-hmm. They needed to go this direction. Do you think that this could possibly lead to some really untapped? They might have stumbled on the best possible thing for Lacey Evans. Do you think I'm right there?
Yeah, for sure. She's definitely one of those people. She's just a natural heel. There's something about her. And this isn't like this, not throwing shade at her as a person or whatever. But some people just don't have, some people have like a sort of reverse charisma, right? Where they just are easy to dislike. And there's something about the way that she's presented on screen that isn't resonating with people. And, you know, the thing about it is, sometimes it's like they don't realize that the audience has, the makeup of the audience has sort of changed slightly. And I think the WWE audience, wrestling audiences in general aren't as, on the whole, isn't as conservative as they used to be. Right. And jingoism is, it's passe. It's not very cool anymore. And so if you try to sort of lean into that to create like this top baby face that they were trying to do with Lacey, right? Female Sergeant Slaughter kind of thing. It's never going to work anymore. You know, it's not like post 9/11 stuff where you can get away with that kind of thing. So yeah, I think you're right. She's better as a heel. And I always thought she was kind of pretty decent in the ring and was seemed to be improving before she had to take a hiatus, which was because she had another kid, I think, right? So yeah, I thought she seemed to be improving in the ring prior to that. So yeah, I'm sure we could. And look, they need heels in that women's division. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think the Southern Belle, the sassy Southern Belle gimmick that she did, I thought was good. I think they messed it up when they put her with Ric Flair. Like when they had that whole thing with her and Charlotte, and then she dated Rick, and that was an awful idea, and it was terrible. Downhill from there. There was no recovering from that one. But the reason that I kind of compare Lacey Evans to Ronda Rousey is because I said Ronda Rousey sort of has this underlying, not hatred, but like distaste for the fans, because she doesn't understand why they don't respect her more, or they cheer the way they do. She hasn't quite learned that the audience in WWE, the WWE universe, has got a mind of its own. And it's crazy sometimes. And you go to certain cities and they don't make any sense. And she hasn't quite wrapped her head around why they do that. Lacey Evans is a type of person who I think we could be looking at like a Rock situation, like a Die Rocky Die, and Rocky Johnson, where the fans just hated him. Like they just, not any fault of his own, but they just built him up as this third generation guy that, you know, had this huge legacy, was going to be a massive star. WWE fans didn't like it. And what became of that was a very angry, chip on the shoulder type of Rock who turned into the biggest, arguably, star in the history of the industry. Now, I'm not saying Lacey Evans is going to become that, but she's going to have this underlying, like, I think she's legitimately going to be pissed that the fans listened to her story and she means it. She was super emotional when she was telling it. And they chewed it up and spit it out. And I don't know how you don't take that personally. So if I'm Lacey Evans, I'm coming back with like some real like fire in my belly, and I'm going to be super mad. And every promo that I cut from here on in, I'm mean, right? And that could be really good for Lacey Evans. Like, I think that could be quite entertaining, because the best heels are the ones that just mean everything they say. And Rock did that. He meant it when he cut his heel promo. I think Lacey Evans, her first promo as a heel on Friday was good. I think the other ones will be even better. So I think this is smart. I think this is what they needed to do. I don't think they had a choice. I think WWE realized, like, this isn't working. Let's make the switch now, given what they're expecting, and just give her the bad guy. But I thought it was really, really good. Pat McAfee, let's switch gears totally. Let's talk about a guy who is very over, who is super entertaining, who might be arguably one of the best things on SmackDown each week. He gets a long-term multi-year extension with WWE. Sounds like this was done a little while ago, but they've just officially announced it. They're putting him back in the ring at SummerSlam. I think super well-deserved. Pat McAfee has been a hit, a home run, a grand slam since joining WWE on the main roster. He's been really, really good. Wise decision by WWE?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You definitely won a guy like McAfee who can thrive outside of WWE. If you've got a guy like that, then yeah, you want to lock him down for sure. So yeah, definitely a wise decision. Yeah, he's great. Like you said, he's absolutely sort of reinvigorated that commentary booth. Michael Cole, him and Michael Cole just bounce off each other really well. It's night and day when you, in my opinion, when you watch that, the Raw commentary team and the SmackDown commentary team, it's just so the difference is just, you know, it's just night and day in terms of quality and how enjoyable it is, with Cole and McAfee obviously being the superior booth.
So
good decision, definitely.
I don't think they realize it, much like they probably do with Logan Paul, who isn't going to be nearly as entertaining as McAfee, but these outside crossover guys with these huge social media followings like McAfee has is massive for WWE. Like, I think that alone is probably worth whatever they're investing in him. But the fact that he's as good as he is on the commentary table, and he can go in the ring when he needs to, like he's going against Happy Corbin at SummerSlam, this is an easy decision for WWE. Like, they should be really, really happy that he's this into it, right? Because he's got a lot on the go. He keeps doing his Pat McAfee Show podcast and YouTube channel, which is huge for him. He's got other things with the NFL that he still does all the time. He was at the Pro-Am golf thing this week. Like, he's a busy dude. He doesn't have to do this, but he really, really loves it. Like, he's a huge wrestling fan. So WWE realized what they had, and it's really smart for them to lock him up and keep him on the team and doing that. And I think you're right. I think he absolutely has breathed new life into Michael Cole, who has already said, he's like, yeah, like, I admit it, this is a whole different ballgame for me now. Like, I've been doing this a really long time, and just working with McAfee on a weekly basis has just changed my view of the whole business. And I think it's really, really cool. Let's talk finally about one of the, maybe this could be a huge, huge thing for WWE, like in terms of what's going to happen with the company, what direction this is going. We've talked about it before. Vince McMahon, allegations against him that he paid hush money to a paralegal that worked with WWE over sexual misconduct, and he sort of ignored it. I don't know if you want to say spat in the face of the whole thing. He came out on Raw and SmackDown and acted like nothing was going on. Now there's more. Now it's about $12 million to four women. John Laurinaitis is wrapped up in this whole thing. He may never be back with WWE from what we're understanding. Wall Street Journal's done a story on this saying there are multiple people, including former employees, including former performers. This is a big deal now, like to the point where it's like cancel culture for Vince McMahon. Netflix has pulled out of the documentary series they were going to do with him. I'm assuming there was a movie or something, I think, or he was writing an autobiography. I'm not sure. That could be affected. What happens here? Like, are we talking about the end of Vince McMahon?
That's a good question. It's difficult to predict because of the sort of stranglehold that he has over the company. And so we should say, like, some of the projects that were in development. So there was a multi-part Netflix documentary series about Vince McMahon in development at with Netflix. And I think it was Bill Simmons was executive producing that, who also did the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO, which was very well received. So Netflix hasn't confirmed anything yet, as far as I know, but our former colleague Denise Salcedo did contact sources within Netflix who told her that that project is now on the shelf, basically. It's no longer on the Netflix's internal programming spreadsheet. So yeah, and apparently it was deep into post-production and they'd already spent a lot of money on it. Now, I think that there's a way where they can, I don't know, I think also Vince McMahon and WWE had sort of a final approval over that. So that does make things a little bit trickier, right? Because otherwise they could re-edit that and they could add all of this drama and this whole story into it and sort of save the stuff they've already made. But because we understand it's not, I don't know if this is confirmed yet, that WWE has sort of final say of approval over what goes out, that's probably not going to happen, you know? So yeah, that project seems to have been shelved. But yeah, in terms of it being the end of Vince McMahon, I think the smart thing to do would be to just, if I was Vince McMahon, I would just retire and take my money and go live on an island somewhere. Right. And just, you know, he's not being accused of any crimes per se. It's just impropriety, right? And misconduct a little bit. So obviously very, very bad to, you know, engage in sexual intercourse with your employees and then pay them hush money. Definitely not good behavior. But yeah, he should just retire and let Stephanie and Triple H run the company, I guess. I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think the board, if members of the board, you probably know more about that than I do. I don't know if the board is even able to kick him out unless he's actually committed a crime or something, you know?
Well, I would assume they can, based mm-hmm. on the bylaws and the things that are written into the shareholders agreements and things like that. And what mm-hmm. they discover under an investigation, they can boot him. He's still the majority shareholder though. So he's going to have, you know, a lot of say. He's going to have a lot of the money type. I'm just wondering if Vince McMahon is the type of person who would be like, you know what, if I'm not in, I'm taking this whole thing with me. Or right. if he would say, I've built this to the point where I've created something that the WWE universe, is what he calls them, fans, just mm-hmm. absolutely love and adore and loyally follow with or without me. It would be a crime, figuratively, to take this away from them. And mm-hmm. would he let this go? And mm-hmm. that's the real question to me, is because I do believe, I mean, the dude's old, right? Like, what is he, 76? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like he's sticking around a whole lot longer. Yeah, he thinks he's going to live to 100. But I just don't know how he's got another even decade in him, because he looks very fragile. Like, mm-hmm. when you see him in the ring, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to predict or knock on wood or anything like that. Or his health is always fine. I hope that's the case. But, you know, like, I don't know how long he had anyway. So at some point there had to be some sort of succession plan here, unless he was just planning on taking WWE with him. Like, if that was it, when he was done and he was just canceling the whole thing, I don't know. But I think there's too much riding on it now. There's public companies, shareholders, there's all this other stuff. They have way too much riding that Vince McMahon does not need to be a part of the equation anymore. So I would wonder, I gotta say though, man, the Netflix thing would be so much better if they still finished it with all this new information.
Right, exactly.
Could you imagine how entertaining, and people would just pay big bucks to see that, right?
Yeah, we need a warts and all Vince McMahon documentary.
Well, especially since nothing actually illegal is going on here, right? Like, all of these things have been settled. He paid them. There's nobody in this equation that's charging him with anything right now.
Yeah,
so there's nothing Netflix would have to hold off on. They could go, you know what, okay, let's just tell the story. It's not in court right now. There's nothing that we can't talk about. It's already passed.
Yeah, right? unless it turns out that
WWE, that's it.
Right, yeah. And I think unless it turns out that he deceived shareholders or something,
sure.
Then I don't think anything will come of it. But I think they also, they see, well, Vince definitely thinks the success of the company is dependent on him being involved with the company, which it just isn't true. It just isn't. It would, I think the company's sort of in desperate need of what it absolutely is in desperate need of and has been for a while is a creative renaissance, basically, right? They need a big reboot of the how that's done. And we know how that creative works right now. A bunch of writers get together, write a bunch of stuff, come up with a bunch of good ideas, some bad ideas. They present it to Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon green lights a bunch of stuff, and then he changes his mind at the last minute and does whatever he wants to do. The one thing the company does need is new creative, and that's not going to happen until Vince leaves.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if he does leave and, say, Stephanie takes over, she might have different viewpoints on what to do. She might have a different procedural way that she wants to do things, but she's always going to be Vince's daughter. She grew up under Vince McMahon and watching him run this company. No matter what you do, shades of how he did things will be in her DNA, right? So there's going to always be a trace of Vince McMahon. So I don't know why shareholders would be overly concerned. I mean, if you're going to have anybody take over, it's probably Stephanie, unless you've decided that this whole thing needs to be removed from the McMahon family equation altogether. And you're like, okay, we absolutely need a Nick Khan or somebody else with a different, fresh perspective to come in here and go, okay, this is a business. This is like, do what you got to do as a business to not a creative WWE product, blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know what they'll do, but I would assume if Stephanie's in there or Triple H is in there or whomever is in there, enough has filtered off of Vince McMahon that there'll always be traces of how he ran things in WWE. So it's never going to completely change. It's not like they just need, you're right. They need better procedural ways to do stuff. It's just one man calling the shots is a good thing because there's nobody to argue and it's no political garbage like they had in WCW. But when that one man is completely out of touch now, which it seems like Vince McMahon is, and credit to everything that he has done with WWE, it's time to do something else. So we'll see. I'm very, very curious now as this, if this gets bigger and bigger, and I don't want to say dirtier, but I guess that's a word, dirtier with all of the information that comes out here.
Scandalous. Scandalous.
Yeah, scandalous. Like if he's got no choice, like he seems to be acting as though it doesn't bother him. Like from what we're hearing backstage, he's just acting as normal, like no big deal, not even referring to it. Not a care in the world, although I'm sure inside he's probably like, oh, crap. But like at some point you got to go, okay, this is getting pretty bad. So who knows? We'll have to see what happens there. All right, Norm, I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go. I kept you for about a half an hour, which I'm sure was plenty for you when you're feeling under the weather. We'll touch base again next week. Hopefully you're feeling a little bit better. And
yeah, should be good to go next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about more happenings in WWE, maybe touch on some AEW stuff, which we kind of totally ignored this week. But we'll get on that next week. I appreciate you taking the time and
no worries,
fighting
man.
Through it with us. All right, guys.
No worries. Thank you.
For everybody else, it's been another edition of the Sportster Show presented by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. That was Norman Quarrington. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks a lot.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.